God bless each one. Wonderful to draw near together in Jesus' name here this morning. We'll have a great time in the Word and in faith together. Are you ready? Our hearts before the Lord and His Word open before us. So what a joy. Just to mention, we have our small groups coming just over 2 weeks now. And if you're signed up, you should know what that means for you, which small group you're a part of. We just ask that maybe for the first 5 weeks, there may be room to change groups, but for the first 5 weeks, that first section, just stick with that group and God will have a blessing in it for you. Be prepared that you making the faith step to be part of a small group may be contested a little bit. When the night comes, I'm so tired, and be prepared for that. But there's a blessing for you, so draw near by faith, and God will honor that. So we're in the Nehemiah series, and first of all, maybe there's a few new faces. Great, welcome. Okay, and Anne is first-time visitor with us today. God bless you. Maybe there's one or two more, I'm not sure, but welcome each one, and let's pray. In fact, let's ask Denise to play quietly, and let's just lift our hearts to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the word hallelujah means praise the Lord. Let's say that together. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we do praise you this morning. We praise you in this moment. We confess that you are a good God, a faithful God, that you are our God. Oh, and we praise you and thank you for your goodness to us, your faithfulness to us. Though there are many challenges in life, we thank you for your grace, your encouragement, your presence. We pray for each one here this morning, every family, every parent, mother and father with little ones here today. For the youngest all the way through to the oldest here, oh, your blessing on each one. Open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. Be lifted up and glorified, we ask in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's great to see these young families, isn't it, in the church? And I want to thank you for Barbara and James that they, what they did in the creche yesterday, just with a heart for our young families. So we thank God for that. Okay, in the book of Nehemiah, we are there together, and we've had a series. And we may remember there's been some opposition to the work that Nehemiah and the people are doing in rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. We see the opposition spearheaded by a man called Sanballat. Remember? We see him in chapter 2 and chapter 4 and chapter 5. And we see him again in our chapter that we're in today, chapter 6. In chapter 2 and 4, we see that opposition from outside of the camp. In chapter 5, we see some struggles within the camp. Some unresolved conflicts that was caused by some who were exploiting the needs of others. Remember, it was such a difficult, challenging time. There were some who were facing poverty, not having money, needing to get loans, putting their houses up for credit, etc. And Nehemiah, what happened when he heard of that, he got right in the face of it and he said, this is not good that we're exploiting our own brothers and sisters. Will we put them back into slavery again? And Nehemiah said to the people and the nobles in particular, what is happening is wrong, make it right. And they responded beautifully and they did make it right. And at the end of that chapter, Nehemiah has this wonderful a note of his own testimony. He looks to God and he says, oh God, will you remember me? It's actually the last verse. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Knowing that God would honor him as he had honored God. And I would say that to the young people here this morning and to every one of us this morning. Oh, that if we honor God, he will honor us. It's a wonderful biblical remedy is that the word, remedy? Prescription for blessing and success in our life, to honor God. He's so faithful. And this brings us into chapter 6. And we see that as Nehemiah takes this stand, showing his integrity and his honor before God, you can be sure that that will be tested. And then we see the enemy come center stage again in chapter 6. Sanballat and co, we'll call them, because the list gets bigger and bigger. Sanballat and the other enemies appear again on the scene. And they have a plan or a plot now. Three things, we could say. Number one, to distract Nehemiah, because now the attack really focuses in on the man Nehemiah. They know if they can stop him, they can affect the whole work. So in verses 1 through 4, they want to distract him. In verses 5 through 9, they want to discredit him. And in 10 through 14, they want to deceive him. So let's jump in here in chapter 6, verse 1. And now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, notice that, he's not even listing them now, he's just saying, and the rest. The group was growing, all of those who were against Nehemiah and the work of God. When they heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors or the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying... Now, you'll notice Geshem, the Arab, we saw him back in chapter 2 also. He's quite a troublemaker. We see him in this chapter. And now they send to Nehemiah directly. And what do they say in verse 2? Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. Now, that's an indicator right there. That should be a sign right there. Oh, no. Don't go to the plain of Ono. Say no to the plain of Ono, right? That should be a signal. But they attacked from the outside. They wanted to mock and attack and even wanted to kill Nehemiah and those of influence. But now they are taking a more subtle approach. Come, let us meet together. Let's talk together. I know this wonderful little cafe or conference center in the village, in a village in Ono. Come on, let's meet together. Let's talk this out. Let's see if we can resolve this together. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Hey, Nehemiah, why don't you meet with them? Come on. You don't want this conflict to go on. Nehemiah, come on, you're so unreasonable. Go down to Ono. Notice the last phrase there. But they thought to do me harm. Nehemiah had some discernment. He knew that this wasn't just an amicable invitation. He knew that there was something else to this, that there was a plan of the enemy in the heart of Sanballat, but even the spiritually speaking, the enemy behind that. And he had discernment. He knew that his harm was in view, for the work to be stopped was in view. That he could plainly say, oh no, in the plain of oh no. Had to get that in there, I'm sorry. We must learn to say no to some things. We must learn to say yes to some things. The problem is, we often say yes to the wrong things and no to the wrong things, right? But as believers, Bible-taught believers particularly, it's spelled out for us quite clearly. If we say yes to this and no to this, oh, God will honor us. God is with us. And Nehemiah knew that with all his heart. But here the enemy wants to distract Nehemiah because Ono, it's believed today, that's about 25 miles northwestish from Jerusalem. It would have meant that Nehemiah would have been out of the picture for at least a couple of days. They knew that that would have affected the work greatly. Oh, if we can distract Nehemiah, if we can get him off focus, that will help us in our strategy against the work. The enemy would love to distract us. Did you know that? I read one guy, he said that the enemy has weapons of mass distraction. Again, I apologize. Bad jokes, but it's true. He has, this is in his arsenal. This is in his strategy. Oh, if I can just, maybe I can't destroy the believer, but I can distract him. Maybe he's not going to fall for the outward attack that's a bit obvious, but I can distract him. You know that there are many believers today who are not following the Lord, not living in faith, not attending a church, not believing God because why? They got distracted somewhere along the way. And now their Christian experience is like a memory. How sad that is that the enemy was successful in that sense. He knows that if he can bring certain things to distract us, it can take our focus, our energy, our capacity. You know, we only have so much. And when you have trouble within a church or without a church or the details of life or the distractions of life or the challenges in our own family, whatever it might be, there's only so much energy and capacity and focus we have. And the enemy knows that. But either way, don't go to Ono. Verse 3. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Don't you love that? You can pluck out some things from that verse. Nehemiah understood something. You know what? You're a little bit more important, less important than you think you are. I am doing a great work, and you think I would come down from this great work to speak to you? I'm sorry, that's completely out of balance. Nehemiah understood what he was doing and that it was a work of God. He says this isn't just any work, this is a great work. I love that emphasis. Therefore, I cannot come down. And why should I come down? So that's his answer to the invitation to, oh no, I cannot come down. I will not come down. I'm doing a great work. Verse 4, but they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. The enemy doesn't give up easily. Let's try that again. Let's try that again. Let's try that again. Would want to wear us down. And maybe there are some Christians of the first time, oh no. The second time, oh no. The third time, the fourth time, right? But Nehemiah was ready to stand firm. Our enemy doesn't give up. There's an echo, a repeat. We need to be aware of that. When the devil tempted the Lord in the wilderness, it says for 40 days and night, every day he came to tempt the Lord. Saul was hunting David in the wilderness day and night for years, not giving up. And you and I, 1 Peter 5:7, we have an adversary who seeks whom he may devour, and he goes to and fro on the earth, seeking continually. The enemy doesn't sleep and he doesn't give up. So, then in verse 5, then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the 5th time, but now with an open letter in his hand. And now the true colors are really revealed. Open letter, meaning this was open for the Jews, that people could read this, that people would know about this. It would be like sending an email and copying everyone in on it and hitting the send button. This was an open letter of accusation against Nehemiah. Let's look at it. Verse 6. And in it was written, it is reported among the nations. And Geshem says, Geshem the Arab from verse 1, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Notice this phrase, oh, it is reported among the nations. Oh. You know, when you've been in the game for a while, you begin to catch on to that when people say, everyone is saying. And you say, really, everyone? Who is saying that? Well, it's publicized among the nations. You know, everyone, the people are saying. People in the church are saying. Really, who's saying that? Well, it's that guy and his wife. Oh, so not everyone. Well, no, not everyone, right? And you begin to realize that the enemy would love to amplify something, love to make something out of nothing. He does that so often, sadly so unnoticed sometimes, but I want you to notice this. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says. Okay, it's only Malaika, don't worry. This is the word of God. It's okay. We're a family church, but look up here, right? And Geshem the Arab says. Now notice this. I want you to notice this. Geshem is publicized among the nations. And Geshem says. Guess who was publishing it among the nations? Probably this guy. He had quite a voice, quite an influence. He was a reporter reporting it among the nations. Notice it goes on. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be king. Here's the accusation. We know what you're really about, Nehemiah. And it's publicized among the nations, and even Geshem says it, that you and the people want to rebel and you want to be king. That's why you're here. That's why you're building the wall. And even if it's not true, it hurts, doesn't it? Hello? When people accuse you and you know, wait a minute, that's not true. And even if it's not true, it hurts. And even if it's not true, it can do some damage. Lies, as Churchill said, a lie marches around the world before truth has even got its boots on. Which is why we need to be so careful about what we hear, what we entertain in our heart. So, they wanted to now discredit him. First of all, to distract him, now to discredit him. Seems as if you care about the wall, but that's not true. Oh, you want to be a king. Now, I'm already a king, so that's okay. But they were accusing Nehemiah. And this is a good warning for our souls and for our life. Be discerning. Ask questions. Don't act on hearsay, but go to Nehemiah and say, hey, Nehemiah, is this true? Talk to Nehemiah. Talk to the people. Don't listen to voices that's going around in the rumor mill. This is why the Bible is so clear and loud with a voice against gossip and slander and evil reports, because that is in the arsenal of the enemy to divide in the work and the house of the Lord. So, verse 7. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah. You know what, Nehemiah, well, we're on to you. Look, the letter says it. You've even appointed prophets around the land who are preaching and saying, oh, there's a king in Jerusalem, preparing the way for your coronation, Nehemiah. We're on to you. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Are you ready now, Nehemiah, to come and talk to us, to meet us in Ono? Because if you don't, here's the letter. And the king is going to hear of it. And then you'll face the music. So why don't you just come down and meet with us now in Ono? What do we say to that when people accuse? When there's an open letter. And of course, we understand we want to answer that. We want to make that right. We want to set the record straight. But we can't spend all of our life trying to put out fires either. And Nehemiah, particularly in this time, knew that. So what did he do? First of all, he clearly denies the lie. Verse 8. And I sent to him and said, no such thing as you say is being done, but you invent them in your own heart. First of all, he denies it and says this is an absolute lie. Secondly, he exposes them as the source of the lie. And guess what? This didn't come from the nations. You were the ones who brought this up and made these lies up. And number three, he reveals their motive for their strategy here in verse 9. For they were all trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. You see that? Oh, you love Nehemiah. Discerning, conviction, speaks to the enemy and say, that is not true. You made that up. And also he understood why. They want to weaken our hands in the work. Or some translations say discourage our hearts, which makes sense, doesn't it? When the heart is discouraged, the hands are weak. It cannot go on. A lot can come against a Christian, a church, a pastor. a brother, a sister. The enemy would love our hands to be weakened because of discouragement in the heart. It's also back in Ezra 4:4, it says, "Then the people of the land tried to weaken the hands of the people of Judah. They troubled them in the building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose." Ezra 4:4. His contemporary, when they were building the temple, same thing. Different names, different ways. I mean, same thing. An enemy against the work. Wanted to weaken the hands and frustrate the purpose. You and I have that enemy also, as the scriptures clearly say. Now, notice that at the end of the verse, Nehemiah, characteristic of him, adds this wonderful prayer. Such a short prayer, just one sentence. "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." He understood the enemy, the purpose to weaken the hands, and Nehemiah counters that with a prayer and says, "Oh, the enemy wants to weaken, oh, but Lord, will you strengthen my hands?" And we love to see that, a short, powerful, fervent prayer. And that will come through the encouragement of the heart. Now, the next and last ploy or plan is to deceive Nehemiah. We'll finish with this today. "And afterwards I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. And he said, 'Let us meet together in the house of God.'" Now listen, he's not going to go to the village in Ono. He's not going to go to that, but maybe let's try this. "Why you come to the house of God, Nehemiah? Within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you." So Shemaiah has this prophecy. "I have this prophecy, Nehemiah, the enemy is going to come to kill you, so you need to hide out in the temple." Now, sometime, you know, this is maybe, Shemaiah's a little bit, maybe one of those characters a little bit hyper-spiritual. "Oh, thus saith the Lord, Nehemiah, I have heard a word in the night concerning you that you need to flee to the temple." And Nehemiah was onto that. "Oh, really? Prophecy? Thus saith the Lord?" No, not going. Again, Nehemiah had some discernment. Maybe as you have had in the past, when certain ones would love to lay a little bit of a spiritual trip on you in the name of the Lord. Now, God can do that. I'm not belittling that, but I am saying there is so much falsehood in Christianity, and you just need to be discerning. And don't let people lay a trip on you. If they get a word from God about you and on your life and what you need to do, you take that to prayer and you be very careful and discerning. And personally, like Nehemiah, I would say, I'll wait until I hear from the Lord. Thank you, though. Pray for me. So, verse 11, here's his response. And he said, "Should such a man as I flee? Who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. I don't care if you say, 'Thus saith the Lord.' I don't care if you're a prophet or this is a prophecy. I'm not going in." First of all, what Shemaiah was asking him to do was against the Mosaic law. It was forbidden for anyone outside of the priesthood to go into the holy place or the holy of holies. And Nehemiah knew that. So how can it be that you get a word from the Lord that is against the word of the Lord? So Nehemiah said, "I'm not going in. Shall a man such as I flee into the temple?" Look at verse 12. "Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." Isn't that interesting? There again we see the discernment in the heart of Nehemiah. "I perceived." And God gives that. And I'm sure you've had that. I've had that when someone is speaking and you are perceiving that I hear the words, but that's not the heart, or this is not true, or whatever it might be. And why was he hired? Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Look at the next verse. "For this reason he was hired," and this is what Nehemiah was discerning and reading clearly, "that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. It was all a trap. It was all a ploy. It was deception to bring to discredit. Notice, the end of chapter 5, we see Nehemiah standing in his integrity and his honor as a man of faith. And this is what they wanted to do to discredit that. That he would be afraid, act that way, and sin. And if he'd done that, oh, they would have had a field day with that. They would have seen, look at Nehemiah, he has gone into the temple, he's violating the Mosaic law, etc. And the last verse here, my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat. Does that ring any bells to you? You remember in the last chapter, he says, Lord, remember me. We read the verse right at the beginning. Lord, remember me. And now he says, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, that you are a just God, that you will mete out accordingly, that you will give us according to your graces or according to our works in your way. And when Sanballat and Tobiah have done this, they will face the music for that. Oh my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. There were others who got involved in that network to set Nehemiah up. Nehemiah was able to see through it, and God would remain faithful. But the enemy would love to distract. The enemy would love to, what's the second one? Distract, deceive is the last one, and gosh, I can't remember my own. Discredit, thank you. Distract, discredit, and deceive. Be aware. So, Father, let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. How you shine light on certain issues, strategies that may come against your work. How that you show us the hands and work of the enemy. How vain it is for the fowler to set the trap in the eyes of the bird. And that is how you show us through the scriptures the strategies that can come against us. Oh, give us wisdom and discernment, we ask and we pray, that you would keep a blessing on the work that you are doing through our feeble hands, that you strengthen again and again. Help us continue. Bless this church as we go forwards. Each one, each person, each family, we ask. We pray for those watching this online, for those who may be visiting today. Perhaps there's one listening, you're not sure of your faith, where it rests. You're not sure in terms of your understanding of the gospel. Oh, but God loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you. He is the Savior who paid for our sins. And simply put your faith in him this day, even this moment, and say, Jesus, I look to you. I trust you. I ask you to save me today by grace through faith as a gift. Thank you that I could be a Christian, a child, saved by grace, not by my works. We pray you'd hide these thoughts, apply these thoughts in our hearts and minds and lives, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's stand together. We'll have a worship song.
Great is our God. Sing with me. Stand and sing with me. How great is our God.